ஓம் ஸ்ரீ மகாகணபதயே நமஹ. ஓம் பத்ரம் கண்ணே விஷ்ணு யாம தேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஷ்யேமா ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ரஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. So today, we'll go straight to the mantra, new mantra, which you're supposed to read today. In the last class, we saw that Atma, what is that by knowing which everything has become known as it were, was the question asked at the very beginning. And for which the teacher is unfolding the very nature of the reality in these mantras of this particular most important section of the entire Upanishad. When the every mantra in Upanishad is important, this particular, the whole section of Mundaka Upanishad, this is the most important section. And we saw, he explained the first mantra, the reality, and that reality being available as Jiva Swarupam was mentioned in the second mantra. So the Brahma is the Shabda, the word used to imply the reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness. And what was it, Brahma? It was said, Avihi Sannihitam Guhacharam Nama, etc. Now, the second mantra which we saw last class, that Brahma is to be discovered again. It was unfolded in the second mantra also. It is that Brahma which should be understood, was mentioned. Now, in this third mantra which you are going to see today, the enquiry into the nature of reality, obtaining as one's own self, in one's own mind, is actually likened to the discipline of archery. So archery, immediately when you say the discipline of archery, it must remind us of many things. Definitely there is a bow and there must be an arrow and there must be a string of the bow. And how, if the arrow has to go and shoot the target, it must be pulled behind and there must be a target also, which has to be hit by the arrow. So here, the enquiry into the nature of reality, or you can say even the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, or the attainment of knowledge, or the pursuit of attainment of knowledge, is likened to an archery here. It is in the mantra and we'll see that. Dhanurgrihitva upanishadam mahastram. Dhanurgrihitva upanishadam mahastram. I'm not breaking the sandhi first. Read the mantra as it is. Dhanurgrihitva upanishadam mahastram. Sharam hyupasanishitam sandhayita. Sharam hyupasanishitam sandhayita. Ah. ఆయమ్య తద్భావగతేన చేతసా ఆయమ్య తద్భావగతేన చేతసా లక్ష్యం తదేవాక్షరం సౌమ్య విద్ధి లక్ష్యం తదేవాక్షరం సౌమ్య విద్ధి ధనుర్గృహీత్వౌపనిషదం మహాస్త్రం శరం హ్యుపాసానిషితం సంధయిత ఆయమ్య తద్భావగతేన చేతసా లక్ష్యం తదేవాక్షరం సౌమ్య విద్ధి. In fact, we must read the next mantra also together. Third mantra and fourth mantra should be read together. Dhanurgrihitvopanishadam mahastram sharam hyupasanishitam sandadhita ayamyatadbhavagatena chetasa లక్ష్యం తదేవాక్షరం సౌమ్య విద్ధి. ప్రణవోధనుశరో హ్యాత్మా బ్రహ్మ తల్లక్ష్యముచ్యతే అప్రమత్తేన వేద్ధవ్యం శరవత్తన్మయో భవేత్. ప్రణవోధనుశరో హ్యాత్మా బ్రహ్మ తల్లక్ష్యముచ్యతే అప్రమత్తేన వేద్ధవ్యం శరవత్తన్మయో భవేత్. దిస్ టూ మంత్రాస్ మస్ట్ బి రెడ్ టుగెదర్. ద పర్స్యూట్ ఆఫ్ అటైన్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ద ట్రూత్ is likened to the discipline of archery. So in this discipline of archery, the arrow is supposed to go and hit its target. Arrow alone has to go and hit the target. The bow need not do anything. But for the arrow to hit the target, the arrow needs definitely the support of a bow. So with the support of the bow, if the arrow has to go and hit its target, the arrow must be sharp also. So here also, the individual mind, the individual conscious mind, we can say the jiva atma, the individual self, is likened to an arrow. The jiva is likened to an arrow. And here, this jivatma arrow is supposed to resolve its individuality in Paramatma, which is the Paramatma which has to be attained by the jivatma in terms of knowledge, is likened to the target. Paramatma which has to be ultimately arrived by Jivatma in terms of knowledge is likened to the target here. Lakshyam. And here, if the Jivatma has to discover Paramatma, and for which there is a pramanam needed, the shastra, visheha, subject matter of shastra is important for analysis. Therefore, the enquiry into the subject matter of the Shastram. Otherwise called Shastra Vicharaha, Shastra Vishya Vicharaha. Here is presented as the Omkara. So Omkara represents enquiry into the subject matter of the Shastra. And here, this enquiry into the subject matter of the Shastram is likened to the bow. So the enquiry into the subject matter of the Shastram is presented in the form of Omkara Vichara. And Omkara Swarupa Vichara, Omkara Artha Vichara is likened to the bow. Only with the support of the bow, the arrow can arrive at the target. In the same way, here also, only with the help, the support of the Shastra, subject matter of the Shastram, only because of the support of the Shastram as the Pramanam, here the Jivatma also can arrive at the Swarup of Ishvara in terms of knowledge. So here, let us see the meaning of the words also. And when I explain the meaning in Ishavasya Upanishad, the Shanti Mantra, even when we see the meaning of the very word Upanishad itself, the definition of the word Upanishad, in explaining, I mentioned this, there's no real distance between, physical distance between Jivatma and the Paramatma, the individual and the self. There's no physical distance. Between the arrow and the target, there is distance. Between Jivatma and Paramatma, there's no distance. Actually, there's no distance. But it seems as though Jivatma is distant from Paramatma. Paramatma is far away from Jivatma. And this seeming distance is caused by ignorance. If we ask the question, what is the distance between Jivatma and Paramatma? Actually, there is no distance. But a seeming distance is caused by ignorance. Therefore, the example should not be stretched too much. We must carefully understand the example. Because there really there's distance between the arrow and its target. Because the Jivatma Swarupam itself is Paramatma. The very existence of every mind, the very existence of the I sense, aham vrittihi, itself is Paramatma only. Just as there's no distance between wave and water, there's no distance between human mind and reality. In fact, there's no distance between the reality and anything in the world. There's no distance at all. And there's no distance between I sense, reality, awareness. There's no distance. And the essence of Jivatma, Paramatma, Swarupam being one and the same, There's no distance at all. It is already known very well. And for such a distance caused by ignorance, if the distance has to be, the arrow reaches the target, means the distance between arrow and the target is removed. And here also, the distance between Jivatma and Paramatma being caused by ignorance, and knowledge is the only means of removing the distance. So in the wake of knowledge, distance becomes, the seeming distance caused by ignorance is removed. So there's a word, vyavahitam. Vyavahitam means distanced. The Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions in his commentary that Jivatma Paramatmanaha Ajnanena Vyavahitaha. Jivatma is distanced from Paramatma because of ignorance. Otherwise, Jivatma is never away from Paramatma. Paramatma is never away from Jivatma also. But nothing can distance Jivatma from Paramatma. No wave can ever be distanced from the water. Similarly, no ahamsvrittihi, no vrittihi, no thought modification, no cognition, no mind can be distanced from the reality. Because very existence is in reality. Therefore, jnanam is the only means of bringing the jivatma near Paramatma. So it's also indirectly, this verse also indirectly reveals the, it serves as a Mahavakyam. So let us see the meaning of the verse. Dhanuhu grihitva. Dhanuhu grihitva aupanishadam. Recently I taught you Vruddhi Sandhihi. Grihitva aupanishadam. Grihitva aupanishadam. Akara followed by au. It becomes au and Vruddhi Sandhi. Dhanuhu grihitva aupanishadam mahastram. Aupanishadam mahastram. So dhanuhu becomes dhanur grihitva. Because of visarga sandhi, the dhanuhu visarga becomes repa. Dhanuhu grihitva aupanishadam mahastram. So, here, what should one do in archery? First, one has to lift one's bow. If one has to shoot an arrow towards the target, one has to lift the bow first. So, here also, in this pursuit of spiritual wisdom, one has to lift this bow, and which is a Mahastram. Mahastram means what? Actually, Mahastram is a compound word. Mahat Astram, two different words. Mahat Astram, great weapon. Great weapon. Mahat Astram. And Mahatastram in a compound word becomes Mahastram. மகாஸ்திரம் சவர தீர்க்க சந்திஹி. சோ மகாஸ்திரம் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? மகா அஸ்திரம், புட் தம் டுகெதர் மகாஸ்திரம். ஆக்சுவலி இஃப் யூ வாண்ட் டு செப்பரேட் செப்பரேட்லி இட் மஸ்ட் பி மகத் அஸ்திரம் அண்ட் காம்பவுண்ட் வேர்ட் மகா அஸ்திரம் அண்ட் பிகாஸ் ஆஃப் சவர்ண தீர்க்க சந்தி இட் பிகம்ஸ் மகாஸ்திரம். சோ தி கிரேட் வெப்பன் அண்ட் வாட் இஸ் கிரேட் வெப்பன் ஹியர்? தனுஹு மகா அஸ்திரம். தனுஹு மகா அஸ்திரம் த கிரேட் த பிக் ஹெவி லோடட் வெப்பன். த கிரேட் வெப்பன் ஹியர் இஸ் தனுஹு. தனுர் தனுஹு தி போ. அண்ட் ஔபநிஷதம் சோ கிரஹித்வா இஸ் இன்டிக்ளைனபிள் பார்ட்டிசிபிள் விச் மீன்ஸ் ஹேவிங் லிஃப்டட் ஹேவிங் டேக்கன் எடுத்து வில்லினை எடுத்து கிரஹித்வா தனுஹு தனுஹு கிரஹித்வா மீன்ஸ் வில்லினை எடுத்து சாஸ்திரம் என்னும் வில்லினை எடுத்து. So having lifted, having taken the bow, the great weapon, Dhanuhu Grihitva. And here, what is this weapon here? Aupanishadam. This great, having lifted, having taken this great weapon of bow in the form of Aupanishadam. Anything pertaining to Upanishad is called, is known as Aupanishadam. Anything pertaining to Upanishad is said to be Aupanishadam. So the teaching of Upanishad can be said to be Aupanishadam. The subject matter of Upanishad can be Aupanishadam. So Aupanishadaha Vishayaha, Aupanishadaha Pataha, the teaching of Upanishad, subject matter of Upanishad is Aupanishadam. And here Dhanuhu is a neutral gender word, therefore Astram is a neutral gender word. Dhanuhu Grihitva Maha Astram Dhanuhu Aupanishadam Mahastram Dhanuhu Grihitva. So having taken the great bow in the form of the Upanishad, teaching of Upanishad, subject matter of this Upanishad, is the meaning of this first sentence word. And this Upanishad, Upanishadam, here literally it means teaching of the Upanishad. And this teaching of Upanishad, actually, the Omkara symbolizes the teaching of the Upanishad here. We're going to see that later. So what is that subject matter of the Upanishad representing? Here Omkaraha Pranavaha symbolizes, represents the Upanishadic teaching. So when you say Omkaraha symbolizes the Upanishadic teaching and which is likened to the great weapon of bow, when you say, it is not just the sound Omkara alone. Here enquiry into the meaning of Omkara. You say enquiry into the meaning of Omkara is actually enquiry into the subject matter of the Upanishad. So Vedanta Samagra Vedanta Shastra Vishaya Vicharaha. Omkara represents, symbolizes the enquiry into the subject matter of the entire Upanishad. Enquiry into the subject matter of the entire Upanishad. Svagrihitva, having taken. And next, what is this arrow? Arrow is otherwise called Sharaha. Arrow means Sharaha. And the Sharaha, as I already said, is the Jivatma, is likened to the Sharaha, arrow. Sharaha, otherwise called Banaha. You already learned the word Ishuhu. Sharaha, Banaha, Ishuhu, many words you have learned. And in Rudram class, you have learned the word Ishuhu and Banaha, two words. In Tamil also we have this word Banam. Banaha, na, the cerebral, Banaha. Then you have learned Ishuhu is a feminine gender word. Banaha is a masculine gender word. And again you are learning another masculine gender word, Sharaha. So, Aupanishadam Mahaastram Dhanuhu Grihitva. Then, Sharam, Sharaha. Sharaha is what? The arrow. And the Sharaha is, Sharaha represents the Jivatma. That we will, actually we will see the whole thing next mantra also. And sandhadhita, actually sam is the prefix, dha is the root, dadhati means places, sandhadhati means places, sandhadhati, and sandhadhita is an imperative verb, sandhadhati, sandhadhita. So may one place the arrow. May one place the arrow. May one connect the arrow. May one associate the arrow. So may one place the arrow in the bow. May one connect the arrow to the bow in the form of Omkara Artha Vichara. Nyuma Shastra Vichara, subject matter of the Shastra. Enquiry into the subject matter of the Shastra. May the Jivatma, in the form of arrow, be connected to the bow, which in the form of the subject matter of the Shastra, in terms of Omkara Vichara. Dhanurgrihitva Upanishadam Mahastram Sharam Hyupasa Nishitam Sandadhita. Okay, it is not enough if we simply fix the arrow to the bow. The arrow must be sharp. The arrow must be sharp. Only then you go and hit the target. So, nishitam is a word. It means this arrow sharpened. The arrow is perfect. It's made perfect to hit the target. So, nishitam. But the arrow is sharpened. Like that here also, the jivatma also must be adequately prepared for this vichara, to enjoy the benefit of the vichara. So the jivatma's preparedness required for inquiry, to enjoy the benefit of inquiry, is actually very carefully meant by the word nishitam. So, and what this jivatma, the arrow in of jivatma, has to be prepared, adequately prepared. It mentally sharp, intellectually sharp, emotionally stable, and for which there's a discipline mentioned. Upasa Nishitam. Upasa Nishitam. Of course, in our Shastram, there are disciplines prescribed for an individual human being to prepare his mind. And we know definitely the most important discipline prescribed for all the individuals to prepare one's mind is living a life of Karma Yoga. And living life Karma Yoga implies, you all know very well, the commitment to live a life of Dharma, Dharma Pradhanam Jivitam, consciously living a life of Dharma involves a great effort. And not only that, and to be able to live a life of Dharma, one needs Bhagawan's grace. And in order to tap Bhagawan's grace again, one must be prayerful, highly prayerful, intensely, fervently prayerful, to have the strength to be able to live a life of Dharma. And as a person who is prayerful also, who is highly worshipful, who is highly sensitive, who equally thinks of the lives of other beings and a contribution of the phenomena, therefore who is also highly thankful to Bhagawan for all that one is blessed with. So this person who lives life Karma Yoga with a commitment to Dharma and prayerfully and worshipfully, this is the way of life prescribed in Shastram to prepare one's mind for Jnanam, the mental preparatory discipline. And there's no choice about living a life Karma Yoga. There's no other shortcut method of preparing one's mind for Jnanam to become qualified for the attainment of knowledge. So apart from that also, and in living life Karma Yoga itself, the certain disciplines prescribed specifically for men, specifically for women also. And especially the disciplines we followed as the Grihastha. Like this, we have certain things presented by the Shastra itself. So, and here, Upasanam is mentioned here. Upasanam is mentioned. Upasanam as a practice of meditation. Therefore, the Upasa Nishitam. Upasa Nishitam Sharam means the arrow which is sharpened, is Jivatma arrow, who is prepared, who is intellectually sharp, adequately sharp, and emotionally stable, who has Antakarna Shuddhi, Antakarna Naishchalyam, that Jivatma alone, who is prepared and has to. This such a Jivatma must be given to the discipline of the study of the Shastram, must involve oneself in the enquiry into object matter of the Shastram. Therefore, Sharam Sandadhita. Sharam Sandadhita means may one fix the arrow to the bow, means may an individual be given to the study of the Shastram, be given to the enquiry into the subject matter of the Shastram. Therefore, once Jivatma is given to the study of the Shastram. Naturally, Jivatma arrives at the Surupam of Brahma, which is the target. And what is the target that should be hit by Jivatma arrow? It is Brahma. Therefore, when the Jivatma is given to study of the Shastram and also given to inquire the nature of the truth obtaining as one's own self, as a prepared minded person, naturally he discovers the truth in one's own mind. And for the Jivatma to arrive at the Swarupa of the reality, one's own self, and what was the supportive? What was that which was supportive? It is the Shastra Vichara. Subject matter of the Shastram, which is symbolized by the bow. And then, so where does he arrive at it? As one's own self, in one's own mind.
Dhanugrihito Upanishadam Mahastram Sharam Hyupasa Nishitam Sandadhita.
Then Ayamya Tad Bhavagatena Chetasa. Ayamya Tad Bhavagatena Chetasa. Then when the arrow is fixed to the bow, then what should be done? Ayamya Tadbhava Gatena Chetasa. Tadbhava Gatena Chetasa means without any distraction. Chetas means mind. I'm giving a literal meaning today. Chetas means mind. Chetas like manas, chetas. All these words are ati sakaranta napumsakalinga shabdau. Sakarantaha napumsakalingaha chetas shabdaha. Chetas. And here, chetasa. Tadbhava gatena chetasa. The mind has to be the focused attention of the mind. Tadbhavagatam chetas. Tadbhavagatena chetasa means with the mind focused without any distraction. Without the focused attention. Tadbhavagatena chetasa. Laksham tadeva. Tadeva laksham aksharam somya vidhi. Tadeva laksham aksharam somya vidhi. So with the mind, the focused mind of the focused attention, tadbhavagatam chetas means the mind which is distraction free mind, that may you know. The vidhi has two meanings. First, it means may you know. Vidhi, may you know. Oh, Soumya. Oh, beloved student. Oh, pleasing one, may you know. Tadeva aksharam. May you only discover that. Tadeva aksharam. That imperishable reality, which is the only target. Tadeva aksharam lakshyam vidhi. O pleasing one, may you know only that imperishable reality Brahma, which is your lakshyam, the goal. And here ayamya, the word ayamya means in order to shoot the arrow, send the arrow towards its target, always the string of the bow has to be actually pulled behind. You have to pull the string of the bow in order for this arrow to go from towards to go towards its target. Similarly, here also, ayamya means, ayamya stands for actually uparatihi, withdrawing one's attention. So the pulling the string of the bow, just as you have to pull the string of the bow in order for the arrow to travel, to go towards its target. Similarly, here also, one has to withdraw one's attention. One has to take one's attention from everything else, all the distracting worldly objects. So the word ayamya actually means, stands for the dispassion. Dispassion means, as a dispassionate mind, it means having taken away one's attention from everything else, from artha, from kama, even from dharma, which means not having any other purushartha as the ultimate goal, having them only as means to accomplish the ultimate goal, having taken one's attention from all the worldly pursuits, having recognized their limitations. Ayamya. So having withdrawn one's attention from all other worldly pursuits, all other objects, and tadbhavagatena chetasa, with the mind focused only on that object, tadeva lakshyam aksharam vidhi somya. O pleasing one, may you discover, may you know that absolute end, lakshyam is absolute goal, in the form of the imperishable reality, Brahma. May you discover that. And to discover that Brahman, the imperishable reality, aksharam Brahma, which is your absolute goal, discovery of Brahma is the absolute goal, lakshyam, paramalakshyam. To discover that, your attention must be focused only on that Brahma, not on anything else. Therefore, he says that tadbhava gatena chetasa lakshyam tadeva aksharam somya vidhi. So many things are revealed here. The mantra is over. Every word is highly meaningful here. You understand every word, what is likened to what. It is not enough if simply place the arrow. The arrow must be sharp. So it is not enough if we study the, if we are given to the discipline of study of the Shastram. It's not enough if we simply try to dwell upon subject matter of the Shastram. The mind must be adequately pure and steady. Only then contemplation is possible. So that's why Shravanam, after Shravanam, there must be Mananam. After Mananam, there must be Nididhyasanam. Only then ascertainment, the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the truth is possible. We do Shravanam, but still doubts may be there. then doubtful knowledge is as good as ignorance. You can enjoy the benefit of the knowledge. Even if we do mananam and resolve the doubts, still the clear understanding is there, but unless it is remembered forever, knowledge is not doubt-free, vision is ever handy. Even then we cannot enjoy the benefit of knowledge. The doubt-free, clear understanding must be steadfast, which means must be ever remembered, never forgotten. It must be handy always in all situations for us to be objective towards situations, not to internalize the way to enjoy the benefit of knowledge in terms of freedom, for which contemplation is also important. And constantly dwelling upon the clear vision, clear doubt-free understanding, to ascertain that also we must have a steady mind. And the mind can be steady only if it is adequately pure. Therefore, mind must be adequately prepared. That's why we always understand Bhagavad Gita class that living a life of karma yoga, prayerful and worshipful life, helps one prepare one's mind. With such a mind, a mature, adequately mature mind, a prepared mind can be dispassionate mind also. Because of Viveka, there's Vairagyam also. Because Vairagyam is there, then it is possible for us to be distraction-free minded. So we can, that's why distraction-free focused attention presupposes Vairagyam. Without Vairagyam, it is impossible for us to be focused, not to be distracted. Why people do get distracted? Because adequate dispassion is not there. Vairagyam is not enough. Why Vairagyam is not there, not adequately there? Because Vivekaha is not there. Understanding of the fact is there. The Purushartha Nischaya is there. Commitment to pursuit of knowledge is there. And also, there is mind also adequately prepared by living a life of karma yoga, following other disciplines. Naturally, there's Vairagyam also. It means it is easy to withdraw the attention from everything else and to be focused. Well, he says, Ayamya, Tadbhavagatena Chetasa Ayamya. So having pulled the string, the focus, having only focus on the object. Similarly here, having withdrawn the attention of the mind from all other worldly objects and pursuits, having the only focus on Tadbhavagatena Chetasa, having the focus only on that absolute end in terms of Brahma, the imperishable reality, hey Somya, O pleasing one, may you discover, may you know. Vidhi means may you shoot also. May you hit. Vidhi means may you hit, may you discover. This is the literal meaning of the mantra. For any doubt in this verse, you can always ask me. Sandadhita is imperative verb. Now let me do the next mantra also. Then I'll explain and unfold the whole thing afterwards. Let me do the next mantra also.
Swamiji.
Yeah?
In Swamiji's book, it says Sandhita.
Yeah, there are two versions. Sandhita, Sandhita, two verses are there. Two versions are there. Okay. First I read Sandhita. Did you hear that? First Sandhita.
Yeah.
Sandhita is also actually Sandhita, actually it must be Sandhita. So this is a Vedic expression, Vedic usage. Okay. I read first as that one. I'll explain that again. Now you understood the meaning of the mantra. Let me do next meaning mantra also. Then I'll unfold the unfoldment of these two mantras together. I'll do late, maybe next class. So only here we understand which is likened to what. That is, I mentioned only in the next mantra. Pranavo dhanusharo hyatma. Pranavo dhanusharo hyatma. Brahma talaksham uchyate. Pranavo dhanusharo hyatma. Brahma talaksham uchyate. Apramattena vedhavyam. Apramattena vedhavyam. Sharavattanmayo bhavet. Pranavo dhanusharo hyatma. Brahma talaksham uchyate. Apramattena vedhavyam. Sharavattanmayo bhavet. So here, pranavaha dhanuhu. See, as I said, pranavaha is omkaraha. Omkaraha is known as pranavaha. And it is this pranavaha, omkaraha, which symbolizes the enquiry into the subject matter of the shastra. And which is likened to a bow here. So pranavaha dhanuhu. The great weapon, Maha Astram, which we saw in the previous mantra. The great weapon, in the form of the Upanishadic teaching, is here symbolized by Omkaraha, Pranavaha. So only here it is, only in this mantra it's made very explicitly mentioned. Pranavaha dhanuhu. So what is that? Aupanishadam dhanuhu. Mahadastram. Great weapon. The bow. What is pranavaha? So enquiry into the meaning of omkaraha is actually enquiry into the subject matter of the entire Upanishad. And which is enquiry subject matter of the Upanishad teaching. Upanishad is what? Dhanuhu. Then Sharo Hyatma. Pranavo Dhanuhu. You break it Pranavaha Dhanuhu. Visarga Sandhi will see next class. Pranavaha Dhanuhu. Pranavo Dhanuhu. Dhanusharo Hyatma. Sharo Hyatma. Sharaha Hi Atma. Sharaha hi atma. I said sharaha akaranta pullinga shabda, which means arrow. Sharaha hi atma. In here, the word atma means actually the jivatma. The jiva. Jiva here is the conscious mind. The essence is jivatma here. Atma. And the target is what? Lakshyam. Lakshyam, the absolute goal, the target to be hit by this arrow is what? Brahma. Brahma is a short. And the nakarant aposakalinga shabda, Brahma, the absolute reality, the imperishable reality, aksharam, is implied with the term Brahma, which is said to be uchyate, is said. Just we saw active passive voice in last class. I taught you. Uchyate. Vadati speaks. Uchyate is said. Vadati says. Uchyate is said. So, uchyate. Brahma is said to be laksham, the goal of that arrow. Goal to be hit by that arrow. Tallaksham. Tasya sharasya lakshyam. The goal, the target to be hit by that arrow, jivatma arrow, is Brahma, the absolute imperishable reality, implied by the term Brahma. So pranavaha dhanuhu, sharaha atma, Brahma talaksham uchyate. Here this is made very, what is compared to what is made very clear in this mantra. The previous mantra only it was said, come on, take this astram and pull it and what it should be hit, etc. was said. But what is to be compared to what? There is mentioned only in this mantra very clearly. Pranavaha dhanuho. Sharaha hi atma. Brahma tallaksham. Brahma tadlaksham tallaksham uchyate. Tasya sharasya laksham Brahma uchyate. Is said to be Brahma. Then, how it should be, how should the arrow hit the Brahma? I mean, discover Brahma. How should the Jivatma discover Paramatma? How? Apramattena Vedhavyam. I'm only doing literal meaning of each and every word here. Apramattena Vedhavyam. See, Vedhavyam. This Tavyar Tavyar Anta Shabda. Vedhavyam. Apramattena. Apramatta means the distraction free. Distraction-free mind is apramattam manaha. Apramatta. Because pramatta, pramadaha means distraction. Pramatta means distracted. Pramatta, pramattam manaha, distracted mind. Apramattam manaha, distraction-free mind. Apramatta. Tena manasa vedhavyam. And this, the jivatma arrow should hit the target with a focused attention without any distraction. So when the what should be hit, what should be targeted, what should be reached? It is a choiceless end. The Jivatma's discovery of Paramatma is a choiceless end. There is no choice. Jivatma has to discover its own Swarupam. Therefore, when it is a must, yet the potential passive participle is used to emphasize no choice. One must discover. I said in passive voice. Therefore, Vedhavyam. No. Vedhavyam. Means what? Vedhavyam should be known, also should be hit. Should be, must be hit. So apramattena vedhavyam means without any distraction, the focused attention, Paramatma should be discovered. Paramatma should be discovered. So without any distraction, the focused attention, the target must be hit by this arrow, Jivatma. And using the bow of Pranavaha, so apramattena vedhavyam. Once the arrow, without any disturbance, only for arrow reaches its target, then arrow hits the target, then arrow remains one with the target. It hits and stands, it remains one with the target. The arrow, then there's no distance between the arrow and the target. arrow goes towards your target, it hits the target, it does not fall, it remains hitting, it remains one with the target. Similarly, the Jivatma, the conscious mind with the essence, also having discovered Brahma, with the help of the bow of Omkara Vichara, are also Tanmayaha Bhavet. Tanmayaha remain Jivatma, then when discovering its own Swarupam, remains one with the Brahma. May the Jivatma remain one with Brahma means what? The Jivatma remains one with the Brahma. Because Jivatma is never away from Brahma. Paramatma is never away from Jivatma. Because of ignorance, there was distance. Now the distance is removed by the Jnanam. The distance caused by ignorance is removed by the knowledge. Therefore, now Jivatma remains one with Paramatma like the arrow remains one with its target. Sharavat, like the arrow. But really, arrow goes and hits the target and remains one with the target. But here, the Jivatma remains one with Paramatma means, having discovered its own Swarupam, Jivatma discovers the distancelessness. Discovers the distancelessness, inseparability, non-separateness. Then Jivatma discovers the fact of its Swarupam already being Brahma. Therefore, there's no real merger. Jivatma does not become one with the Brahma. Jivatma, there's discovery and the part of Jivatma, its Swarupam being already Brahma. As though Jivatma becoming one with Brahma. Jivatma also remains one with Brahma means Jivatma resolves its, this individuality is resolved in totality. The essence is resolved cognitively in its own Swarupam of consciousness. Just as wave form is cognitively resolvable in water, the essence obtaining in the form of thought form also is resolved in formless reality consciousness. So Tanmayaha Bhavet means Sharavat, like, Vat means like. Sharavat, like the arrow, which has hit its target, remains on this target. So also this Jivatma, having discovered, arrived at Paramatma in terms of knowledge, through the, with the help of, the support of the inquiry into the Omkara Vichara, the bow of Omkara Vichara, Jivatma also remains one with Paramatma. So may Jivatma remain one with Paramatma means, may Jivatma resolve, discover its inseparability, non-difference, non-distance through this vichara. Sharavat Tanmayaha Bhavet. So this vichara phalam, what is the benefit of contemplation? The contemplation should result in the ascertained clear vision of oneness of reality, of Jivatma and Paramatma. The essential oneness becomes very clear. Therefore, the Jivatma does not unite or become one with Paramatma. Jivatma discovery in terms of Jivatma being already inseparable, non-separate from Paramatma. So, Sharavat Tanmayaha Bhavet. Tanmayaha means Aduvahave Ahudal. becoming that. Like wave becoming water is what? Wave becoming that. So this essence, aham vrittihi, is resolved in consciousness, means becoming that. Is called tanmayaha. Becoming that means becoming that is implemented over tanmayaha. So tanmayaha bhavet means may this jiva also, this jivatma become one with paramatma. So now the only literal meaning of the mantra I have covered. Pranavo dhanushsharo hyatma. Pranavo dhanushsharo hyatma. Brahma talaksha mochyate. Apramatena vedhovyam. Sharavatanmayo bhavet. So, this pranavaha, the meaning of the word pranavaha, I mentioned many times in my class. Pranavaha. Omkaraha is called pranavaha. This akara, ukara, makara. Three sounds, two vowel sounds and one consonant, nasal consonant. Nasal, labial consonant is a makara. These three sounds together constitute one syllable, om. And this om stands for all other vowels and consonants, all the possible sounds producible through vocal cords. And all the sounds actually stand for all the words. And all the words constitute, all the words actually form the sentences also. If all the words actually are terms indicating their own corresponding objects, but all the words symbolize, stand for all the objects, all the forms denoted by the words, and all the forms, subtle, gross, perceptible, imperceptible, all the expressions have their own corresponding meanings, and all the meanings of the words, the forms, and serving their purposes constitute the entire universe. Their om is equal to the whole cosmos. Therefore, if om is equal to the cosmos, the entire, the whole cosmos, means the whole cosmos is manifestation of knowledge, which is Bhagavan. Their om can be said to be the sound symbol of Bhagavan, the whole. Therefore, all the words denoting their corresponding forms and functions are in this Omkara. All the sounds are in this Omkara. Om accommodates, Om includes, Om is inclusive of all the sounds, all the words, all the forms, all the functions, everything is included in this Omkaraha. Therefore, Om can be, Om is the name of the whole Jagat, means Om is the name of word denoting every object here. Any word can be denoted by one word, Om. You can show an ocean, you can say Om. You can show a wave, you can say Om. You can see the water, you can say Om. You can see a mountain, you can say Om. You can show a tree, you can say Om. You can see a branch, you can say Om. You can show the whole jungle and you can say Om. Look at every object here, a living being, a living creature, non-living creature, every element, everything can be denoted by one word, Om. If you say tree, the word tree can denote only one object called a tree. A leaf can denote only one particular leaf. A fruit can denote only a particular object called a fruit. House, the word house can denote only one particular object called a house. It cannot denote other objects. No word in the world can denote more than one given object. Any one word can denote only one particular object. Sometimes one object can have many names. Jalam, Udakam, Up. We can have many words to denote one object. But one word can denote only one object. There's no word can denote many objects. Definitely not. But here, Omkaraha is a one word which stands for all the objects, the entire universe, the whole. That is why it's a sound symbol of the Lord, the whole. Therefore, I'm only explaining why Omkaraha is known as Pranavaha. The Nama, the word Nama means name. Nama is a neuter gender word. Naman Shabdaha. Whereas, if we take the word Navaha, Navaha, the dental Nakara. Okay, Dantyaha Nakaraha. Dental. Navaha. Tatha dadhana, that na. Navaha is akaranta pullinga shabdaha. Navaha means name. So tree is a navaha. Bull is a navaha. Any one word denoting any object is a navaha, name. And one word denoting one given object is called a navaha. Whereas one word by which everything and anything and everything can be denoted, the entire whole world can be denoted, is pranavaha. Pra, because of prefix pra, the dental nakara is replaced by cerebral na. Pranavaha. Pranavaha prakarshena nuyate anena iti pranavaha. Uniquely, that by which everything in the universe, everything and anything, or the entire universe is denoted, is said to be pranavaha. That by which uniquely everything and anything, the entire universe is denoted, is said to be pranavaha. Prakarshena nuyate anena iti pranavaha. Nuyate, denoted, revealed, is revealed. Therefore, pranavaha. So, pranavaha, and how inquiry into the meaning of pranavaha will help individual to arrive at one's own swarupam. How should we inquire into the meaning of omkaraha in order to arrive at our own swarupam? So jivatma swarupa jnanam, by arriving at the essential nature of our own self, by arriving at the essential nature of one's own self, you arrive at the nature of the reality of the whole cosmos. And for which we use the inquiry into the meaning of omkaraha, which is as good as inquiring into the subject matter of the entire Upanishad. How we can discover our swarupam, thereby resolve cognitively our individuality in totality, how we can resolve ourselves in our swarupam, how we can appreciate our own swarupam being Brahma, and thereby appreciate everything else here being Brahma. That we'll see in the next class. the literal meaning I have covered. Any doubt here? I've only given the literal meaning of the two mantras together. The actual unfoldment I'll again do next class. Any doubts? Swami. Yeah?
Sharha Hyatma. Atma should be taken as Ahankara.
Don't need to take Ahankara. Atma should be taken as, you can say Jivatma. Jivatma here means the conscious mind with the aham vrittihi. The conscious mind with aham vrittihi, endowed with the mind, endowed with the physical body also. Jivatma here is a conscious mind with eye sense. In fact, in Mandukya explained, the consciousness endowed with the body obtaining within the body mind is complex. But here we have to say the conscious mind with eye sense. Having the physical body, also Jivatma. So we say individual self. Jivatma is individual self. There the Atma, we not take it as Atma here, not individual self also. The word Atma by itself means all pervasive reality consciousness. But here we don't need to take it. The reality, consciousness obtaining as the innermost essence of an every individual is said to be into the term Atma. Is it clear?
Yeah.
Reality as consciousness obtaining as an essence, innermost essence of every individual being. The all-pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence of every individual being is Atma. So here we have to take it as here. What is the truth of the Atma here? The truth of the individual is Atma. But here we had mind has been involved in this. Atma need not know. Atma need not attain jnanam. Therefore I'm saying conscious mind. The Atma jnanam who should attain? Does Atma need to attain knowledge? Who attains jnanam here? Where should knowledge take place? The consciousness cannot attain jnanam. That is why I did not use the word consciousness. Understand, I said conscious mind with the eye sense. Entertaining aham vrittihi. So we have said jivatma, the individual self. So I'll see you now. I'll give you some 15 minutes break for Sanskrit class.
Okay, Swami.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.